You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Good morning. This week's message is called Finding God in the Wilderness. And today I want to talk about wilderness times on our spiritual journeys. Often the Bible describes times of refreshing and renewal in terms of springs and water, but the Bible also describes desolate times of drought, desert times of dryness. And these are tough times of testing that the Lord allows us to go through. But why? Over the years, I've journeyed with many through wilderness times, and often it's easy to identify how they've arrived at a desolate place down paths like ill health and loss and depression. Other times, good people have found themselves in a malaise or a spiritual wasteland, seemingly out of nowhere. And often they come after great spiritual highs. And although they're tough times, they can also come before great spiritual times of blessing and growth. And it's natural to want to avoid such times, isn't it? Yet the Bible writers suggest that the wilderness is an expected and even necessary part of our walk with God. Nowhere is this made clearer than in the life of Jesus. Matthew's gospel gives us a vivid picture of Jesus' most prolonged wilderness season in Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Let's read it. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "You're the Son of God. Tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The chapter before describes the launch of Jesus' public ministry with his baptism. As soon as Jesus was baptized, heaven opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And then straight after that, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Father is so affirming and loving and pleased, and yet still the desert comes. So why would the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? I've read a few theories that scholars pose. Let me share them with you. First, the boot camp theory. Perhaps Jesus came into the wilderness could be seen like a form of training, like an elite soldier. Jesus had to endure the most extreme regime to prepare him for his mission on earth. Perhaps that's right. Perhaps our wilderness times are a time of preparation. Is it possible that when we find ourselves in desolate place, we're actually being invited into intensive training for whatever mission God has put for us? We read it in James 1:3. Jesus' own brother says it, interprets his wilderness in this way, arguing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Second theory is the formation furnace theory. Closely related to boot camp theory, it's the suggestion that the heat of the desert and the severe pressures of loneliness and hunger and temptation operated like a furnace that further forged Jesus's character. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 5:3 that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. Perhaps desert times hone our character. God makes us pure in the furnace. In Romans 5:3-5, the Apostle Paul agrees with James that suffering produces perseverance and builds upon the idea, noting that perseverance produces character. Third theory is voice recognition theory. Jesus hears two voices in the wilderness, the voice of the Father saying, "You're my beloved Son," and the voice of the enemy counters, "If you are the Son of God, prove it." This theory suggests that Jesus The Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness and allows him to step away from his day-to-day life until the noise and hurry of the world around him was stripped back to the point where he could easily distinguish between the voice of the accuser and the voice of the Father, something that he would need through his ministry. How important it is for us to discern the voices in our soul, our Heavenly Father versus the devil who is the accuser and a tempter. And wilderness can strip us back from the hurry and noise and distraction of our lives and maybe helps us see our need to distinguish our Father's voice from others. Just like Jesus did in the Luke 5, he used to go to solitary places to pray. Perhaps there's some learning from that. Fourth theory is that just life happens theory. Sometimes we may have a wilderness experience simply because we live in a broken world. People get sick, hormones go awry, relationships sour. In some cases, we make poor choices or exile ourselves. But whether or not the Spirit has orchestrated our journey into the wilderness, God is still there with us, even if it doesn't feel like that. If you study the original language, the tense used is not like a booting away into the desert, but a leading into that continued through those 40 days. So whatever theory we might hold, there's no wilderness that isolates us from the Spirit. He's always with us. And maybe there's someone here today that needs to know that. So it's good news, but it gets better. God can even redeem our wilderness experiences and train us and shape us and teach us to recognize his voice if we have ears to hear. And here's the key. With God, it turns out that time in the wasteland is never wasted. So four different perspectives. But I think Jesus was led into the desert really for us. Have you ever wondered how we know about Jesus's temptation? He was alone in the desert. So he must have told his disciples about his temptation experience to teach them how to resist temptation themselves. I guess that over the course of 40 days, Jesus would have been tempted in all sorts of ways, but he selects these three temptations to instruct his disciples. And he would know that his disciples would be tempted and have times of wilderness. And he wanted to prepare them by showing them the danger in these times of dryness that can be there. The Apostle John was one of Jesus's closest inner circle, and he grew very old and reflected his whole life on what Jesus had taught. And in 1 John 2:15, he writes about the same temptations that Jesus had shared with his disciples decades before. In Luke 4:3-12, Jesus experiences temptations of hunger, temptations of power and wealth, and the temptations of instant acclaim. If you read 1 John 2:15, the apostle gives a parallel list. The craving of sinful man, lust of the eyes, boast of what he does. So important to guard against this triad of temptations that often come our way in wilderness times. The enemy of our soul seeks to lure us away from our Heavenly Father, seeks to lead us down paths of despair, seeks to make us lust after things that don't quench our spiritual thirst. Wanting things, wanting power, wanting fame to replace God. Wasn't that what the devil was doing to Jesus? Eugene Peterson paraphrases the verse in 1 John 2 like this. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what the Father wants is set for eternity. I wonder what the tempter has been whispering to you in these COVID times. Maybe he's been whispering, you're not a very good Christian. Does God really love you? You're not as spiritual as. You don't get anything out of online church. How can God love the world if he lets COVID happen? Why be generous? Be better to save money. What whispers come into your heart? Let me conclude with this. Jesus defeated the devil's schemes in his wilderness time. Notice how he did it, how he responded to temptation. The devil brought truths mixed with half-truths to deceive and entice Jesus. But Jesus answered with the word of God, the Bible. Even when the devil misquoted the Bible, Jesus answered back with the scripture he knew. The reason Jesus shared what happened to him in the desert was to teach his disciples and continue to teach us to deal with temptation with God's word. We need to know the scripture well enough to understand how to answer our doubts and fears and temptations with it. It's a key weapon in testing times. In Ephesians 6:17, it says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's the sword we have during these hard times that we might go through so that we can emerge victorious from temptation times. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to face temptations of the tempter. And he considered what the devil was offering carefully, but he ultimately rejected it in favor of God's plan and therefore triumphed over the devil in that time. Later, he told the disciples, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven and I've given you the authority over him in Luke chapter 10. Some have thrived since COVID-19 lockdown started. Spiritual lives have come alive, marriages enriched, families drawn closer, parents have become more available to their kids. But for others, it's been a time of wilderness caused by having to self-isolate or shield, induced by anxiety about work or health or children or family, not meeting to worship and receive the word and breaking bread, not meeting with Christian friends has caused many to feel that they're in a wilderness times. But wilderness times are times of testing and temptation, but we don't have to succumb to the temptation and turn our back on God. We can stand up against those forces that seek to distract us from him with the word of God, and in doing so, find God in those desert places. So if you're in a wilderness time now, take heart, reframe. Has the Spirit led you to a boot camp to train you? Has he led you into a furnace to refine you? Has he led you this way so that you could better distinguish the Father's voice from the tempter? One scholar says, the phrase led, the Spirit led into the wilderness, reminded him of the day when his parents led him by the hand into a hospital ward for a tonsillectomy. Love that wants us to be well is not the kind of love that always leads us somewhere easy. Well, today I want to say wasteland is never wasted. God can use this time. He has with me over the times when I've had wilderness times. And we're in it together. It's why this morning in our live stream, we read from Hebrews chapter 10. Let me just remind you and just listen to this in the context of going through a wilderness time. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God, even in our wilderness times when he feels a long way away. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another daily. So if you're going through a wilderness time at the moment, why don't you make contact? We'd love to journey with you, help you. You might be able to just seek God on your own. But I'd encourage you to do that. He's with you. The Spirit is with you. Right now, even as you're listening to this podcast, why not just resist those taunts from the tempter and come to the Word of God and to remember all that Jesus has done for us and all that he is for us, and open our spiritual ears to the fact that the Spirit is with us. If you'd like some help, then let us know. We'd love to journey with you through this and help you. And I just want to say an encouragement. Those times of wilderness that I've been through are often the beginning of a season of great blessing and joy. They can be long seasons of wilderness, but have hope in your heart that through this, you will be led to a place of great blessing. God never wastes time, but redeems these times. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for anybody who's going through a wilderness time, who might feel that you are miles away, maybe tempted to look elsewhere for life. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help them right in this moment to come back to you, to draw near to you, and to know you with them. Lord, may we learn anything that you have to teach us. If we're going through training, if we're going through times of a furnace to purify us, if we're you're wanting us just to know your voice, well, I pray, just reveal those things to us. But Lord, I ask that you would help everybody who is in a dry season to say, I'm going to trust in the word of God. I'm going to be open to the Spirit of God to lead me through this. And so, Father, I just pray your blessing upon everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.